Okay, colleagues, members of the public, welcome to this meeting of the Senate Committee on the Environment and Natural Resources. It's February 17, 2014. And we have just one bill before us today, and I'm going to open a public hearing on it. This is House Bill 4049, which exempts vessel ocean Dungeness crab permits from being subject to revocation or refusal of issuance by State Fish and Wildlife Commission or by court order under certain circumstances. And you probably need more information on that. And so, therefore, it's my pleasure to welcome Representative Wayne Krieger, please, to introduce the bill. And this bill, as I understand, passed the House by a vote of 60-0.
Thank you, Chair Brendambro, committee members. For the record, Wayne Krieger, State Rep of District 1, which is all the way from the south side of Charleston to the California border, so I do have five ports. And the issues around commercial fish are, in fact, extremely important in the district. The bill, as you had explained to you, does involve the revocation of permits, specifically in, under ORS 508926. Those are limited entry permits in the crab fishing industry. Excuse me. There are limited permits that are put out by the state for salmon, shrimp, and the nearshore fishing, gillnet, and crab. We're not certain exactly how it happened, but when they brought the crab limited entry in, they did not include it in the permits, limited entry permits that were not subject to suspension. All the others are somewhat protected, except for under limited circumstances, as the chair indicated. Part of the problem comes today in that there are numerous boat operators have skippers that operate their boats, and also some have more than one boat. So if there's any type of real neglect or intentional violation, the people in these industries really need to be protected because the crew may have not have done anything. The owner of the boat may have not done anything. So the skipper himself that allows that to go on or was negligent is the one whose personal, individual, commercial fishing license is the thing we would like to suspend. So that kind of deals with that. That would allow that to happen. It would also align the revocation of those permits to be the same as it is and all the other limited entry with those other permits. I can't recall there being a real problem using that particular process in any of those other fisheries. The other issue that comes forward that when you're going to be transferring these permits, it prohibited the movement of a permit from whatever size boat it was up to a boat greater in length than 10 feet and not at all above 99 feet. The problem we ran into, we do have a few boats in that 103 to 115 feet that have crab permits on them. So they're already, we're kind of grandfathered in as having a permit on a boat that was beyond that. In the case of one of my people, he was having a brand new 85-foot boat built, and he wanted to take it off his 103-foot boat and put it down below. His concern was that he could never put it back on that upper boat again, so it would increase the value of that big boat, possibly be more valuable on that boat when he goes to retire. We had, I think, 432 limited entry permits in the crab fishery. We've lost about 10 of them in 10 years. This doesn't really change the fishing capacity of the fleet. So if that one permit was already on a large boat like they are, if they went down underneath, they should be able to go back to a boat of equal size. And I think it's supported by just everybody that I've talked to. I heard objections to it. It doesn't increase the fishing capacity of the fleet and doesn't jeopardize the resource.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions of the representative? In the previous testimony on it, was there any discussion of, I mean, how often are permits being revoked?
I mean, well, as I said, there was 10, I believe, in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they were, those were permits that were lost or not renewed. I don't even know how many of them might have been revoked. I don't have that information. Mr. Rowletter.
Yeah, we can ask.
Megan, you could ask them.
Yeah, great. Good. Yes.
And I don't know if you, good to see you again, by the way. Twice one day. It's a pleasure. Thank you. Joe gave me an example of something. I don't know if this actually ever happened. It's possible for a skipper to go out and do something illegal, and he won't lose his license. He can go work on another boat, but the people who own the boat would be in a situation where they could lose their permit for a year or two.
That's right.
Does that actually happen?
Yes, Senator Bates. That could happen. Specifically, I believe there was one instance in Astoria where the permit was taken, and it did put a lot of people out of work. The idea, though, is to protect that limited entry permit for the owner of the boat. In most instances, if you're on shore and someone else is operating your boat, the state police don't cite the owner of the boat. They cite the person who's skipper of that boat, who's responsible for that particular trip that they're out there.
Thank you.
Vice Chair Olson.
Thank you, Representative Krueger. Just for my clarification, are there a limited number of permits that are sold?
There are, I believe originally there was 432 people that qualified for the limited entry permits, and I believe it's down about 10. You just don't go out and buy one. You have to qualify for one with your gear and your boat, and then you can buy a permit and get in the fishery.
Follow-up, are more available than the 432? That's all that
No, that's all there is.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
It was to restrict, Senator Olson, the capacity of that fleet to grow and not to divide it to the point where no one could make a living out of it.
Complete resource.
Okay, Representative, thank you very much for bringing this bill before us. Okay, I'll call up Nick Edwards and Joe Roller.
Chair Dembrough, members of the committee, my name is Joe Rollator. I represent the Dungeness Crab Commodity Commission. With me today is Nick Edwards. Nick is a longtime participant in this fishery, and he's a member of the Oregon Dungeness Crab Commission. And I'll let him talk, and then I'll answer questions if there are any that I can answer.
Nick, welcome. Thank you for coming here.
Thanks for having me. Good afternoon, Chair Dembrough, and members of the committee. My name is Nick Edwards. I'm a commercial fisherman from Coos Bay, Oregon, and I'm here to give public comment in support of House Bill 4049. I am a commissioner for the Oregon Dungeness Crab Commission and have been a commercial fisherman for 35 years. My fishing vessel, the Carter John, holds three limited entry permits, Dungeness Crab, Pink Shrimp, and Troll Salmon. I wanted to point out to this committee that the Oregon Dungeness crab fishery is the largest single species fishery in Oregon, with average landings of $48.6 million. Using a safe economic multiplier of times two from the Oregon Department of Agriculture, that's $97 million flowing through Oregon's ports and coastal communities. With that said, the Dungeness crab fishery has its challenges and eventual change. While reviewing Senate Bill 198 in 2013 legislative session, I discovered a huge inequity in the way a Dungeness crab vessel permit was treated. ORS 580.926 can be revoked in comparison with other state-managed fisheries like Columbia River gillnet, Oregon pink shrimp, and Oregon troll salmon. My Dungeness crab vessel permit could be revoked for the action of an individual on that boat, whereas under current law, the vessel permit in these other fisheries cannot be revoked for the actions of that individual on the boat. The loss of my vessel permit would result in my entire business being shut down for a whole crab season. This would be a huge economic loss of income for me, my employees, to the port, and to the state of Oregon, who were not involved in the original violation. House Bill 4049 addresses these and ensures the protection of the vessel permit and directs accountability to the individual person. The Oregon Dungeness crab fishery has currently 423 permits. A major percentage of these permit holders do not go to sea. They hire captains to run their vessels during the season. Currently, the owner of an Oregon Dungeness crab permit has a large exposure to losing the vessel permit. This, I believe, was an unforeseen consequence when the law was put into statute. House Bill 4049 puts stability back to the permit holder and places responsibility to the individual. This is a good bill for Oregon and its fishery. In closing, many vessels operate one, two, or three fisheries in Oregon. My personal business plan has 6 employees that depend on an active Oregon Dungeness crab permit. I also hire captains to run my business, both in shrimp and crab. I hope that we'll never put my business or my permits at risk, so obviously I do not condone violations on my boat in any manner. I greatly appreciate the opportunity to express the importance of passing House Bill 4049. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dan. Any questions? Yes, Senator Vice Chair Olson.
Either one. Could you give, and Joe, we talked about this, but could you give an example where the captain would violate a rule and fall into this permit thing?
Well,
so you've got some examples, Nick.
If you go out and you're running somebody else's crab gear, which is theft, and or if you're stealing somebody's crab pots, which is theft, if that person is in violation of Oregon state law, which that is a law, there's a $10,000 award through different associations, but that the boat can then be tied up, or and you know we'll get a penalty for it, and the permit could be held accountable for the violation, and then that person or the captain of the vessel can go onto another vessel and create the same violation without any recourse. And when I saw this for the first time, that you know that the individual was not accountable for the action, it seemed ludicrous to me, and I didn't know. I mean, Joe called me astute. Well, a fisherman, I don't think in terminology of being astute. But I noticed it when I read the bill, and here it is, what, 8 months later or something like that, and we're here about it.
Follow-up. Joe gave me an insight into this, and I still can't get my hand around it. There's a lot of crab pots out there. Like, what did you say, 140,000?
140,000 on the
crab. And we passed a bill last session that allowed people to pick up those that are abandoned and lost and stuff like that, which is cool. But when you said they're so close together, how would – and I asked Joe this and didn't quite get grasp the answer from you, Joe. How do you know that someone's snatching somebody else's pots unless you're, you know, like right next to them?
Well, when somebody runs your gear, you come back to the traps and they're
empty.
They're empty. But also we have different radars and plotting systems, so you can actually plot a boat 8 miles away on your string. So there's a way now to actually catch the people. And then through crew members saying, hey, you know, they're making him do this. I'm not saying that you know, this is something that happens all the time in the crab fishery, but, you know, some crew members don't want to be, they're told to do something like this, and they'll turn over and, you know, turn state's evidence against them. It's been done in the past.
Mm-hmm. Is there any other violations that, you know, could be done other than stealing the pots or anything else?
Senator Chair Dembrough.
Could you identify yourself,
Joe? Oh, my name is Joe Rollator. I represent the Oregon Dungeness Crab Commission. Senator Dembrough, Senator Olson. We fish on a fishery that's based on size, sex, and season. So we don't catch any crabs. We don't keep any crabs that haven't spawned at least once. We don't keep any hens, and we don't fish until the crabs are full at their premium right before Christmas. So there are a lot of things that people could do. They could bring in shorts. They could bring in females. They could break the claws off of females and then call them, you know, just parts. What else, Nick? A fisherman know 100,000 ways to cheat.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
Please don't share any more of those publicly.
Yeah. But it might cloud our judgment.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's very important to the fishery. That seeing or hearing that it was in statute since 1976 just amazed me.
Yeah. Thank you, Nick. Joe, did you have anything you wanted to present or to add?
I was here to answer questions if there are any more.
Great. Yes. Senator Hansel.
Well, having growing up on a wheat farm, being a farm boy and quite a ways from the ocean, but nevertheless a big fan of Dungeness crab, I'm wondering if it would be analogous, and correct me if this analogy falls short, but if you hire somebody to drive your wheat truck and the driver is involved in some illegal behavior, the state then takes away the registration of the wheat truck, and the driver, if he still has his license, is able to go work for some other farmer. Would that be a similar type situation?
That's what can actually happen right now. That's what we're trying to change. Yeah. And a lot of you guys don't have an idea of this, but that piece of paper, that permit, that right to fish on my boat's $350,000. And so somebody could purposely, that doesn't like, you know, your business practice or working for you, they could actually go out and create a violation on purpose. It's there. They could. I haven't seen it done before, but it's there.
Yes, Senator Bates.
Just a couple of questions. One's going to be very facetious, but one is real. I'm trying to read through this real quickly. It's fairly complex, and since we were in a short session and because previously we made a mistake here, I would ask that the LC look at this three times more and make sure we got it right, okay? Mm-hmm. It looks a little complicated the way they're describing the permitting and whatnot. I'm going to read through it some more, but I hope that everything is correct in this, and this is not an area I'm an expert on. So are you pretty comfortable that the language is correct here?
Chair Dembrose, Senator Bates, I talked to Legislative Council again this morning, and, you know, Beth Riley took this and made a little chart about how everything works, and I'm confident that we've got it now, that this bill holds together properly, and that there aren't, we're not creating another unintended consequence, Senator.
Okay, thank you. And the last question is one everybody probably knows the answer except me. Why is it called Dungeness crabs? Is where that word Dungeness come from? Anybody know?
Do you know, Nick? I don't.
I think it was from the Indians.
Okay. Well, there's...
That's my job to now look it up.
Okay. Okay.
So, like, I just thought, I've always been...
Mr. Chair, I have one other question since we have Mr. Edwards here. Those little bitty shrimp you catch?
Yes.
How in the hell do they peel those things?
They have rollers, like rolling pins, and so they go through a cooker, and they cook them for about maybe a minute and 16 seconds, mm-hmm. you know, just real short, and then that breaks loose the shell, and then they go through rollers like this, and it loosens the shell, and then they separate with water through the rollers, and then it goes through a picking line. And food for thought that Oregon, you know, we have about 300,000 metric tons in the world supply. Oregon is 10% of that world supply. Oregon, Washington, California.
Wow. A pink shrimp?
Yes.
A pink shrimp.
What's the picking line?
What's that?
What's a picking line?
Oh, once it goes through a series of rollers, then with water and the shell separate, and then it goes through a picking line with about 9 or 10 women on the line there, or guys there. And then if there's anything of the shells that aren't separated, they pick it out, and then it gets through a glaze of little salt brine, and then it's packaged up in 20-pound or 5-pound vacuum-sealed containers, and then frozen for export.
See, I always figured there's a bunch of guys around with a keg of beer doing all that.
No, these are really, really small by comparison.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to close the... Oh, is there anyone else that wants to speak to this bill? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 4049. Gentlemen, you feel comfortable moving forward with this?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just remember the old proverb that all fishermen are liars, and I'm a fisherman, so all fishermen are liars, but not all liars are fishermen. Just remember that as we go through this, okay?
Thank
you.
Old
proverb.
Okay, I'm going to open a work session then on House Bill 4049. Vice Chair Olson.
Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 4049 be reported out of the committee with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Olson moves that House Bill 4049 be reported out of committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Bates.
The Dungeness crab gets its name from the port of Dungeness in the state of Washington.
Cool.
Which is probably a name from Scotland, I imagine.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Senator Bates.
Who cares, right?
any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, is there any opposition to the motion? Okay, the motion passes. I'm going to ask Senator Cruz to carry this. He was a chief sponsor. If he doesn't want to, I'll do it. Okay. All right. With that, I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 4049. And colleagues, that will do it for today. We have three bills up on Monday. The agenda has just been posted. And
Monday?
On Wednesday, I'm sorry.
Wednesday. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. Sorry.
I've had a week.
I think we're running out. When is our last meeting?
Our last meeting to pass bills will be a week from today. We have two more work sessions ahead of us.
When will the last day of the session be?
I believe that it's going to be sometime in either the very end of February or early March. Okay, colleagues, with that, we are adjourned.